This podcast you're about to listen to was produced by Nelcon Media.
A very good day to you all, lovers of humanity and citizens of the world. We bring you the newest baby in the world of podcasting. In Africa, especially in Nigeria, the birth of a new baby is a cause for great joy and celebration. And celebrate we will. All Things Naija is the name of our new baby. That is also your new baby. All Things Naija is a dedicated pan-Nigerian podcast program that attempts to do an in-depth analysis of the socioeconomic dynamics of the Nigerian state. The program will be unleashed and unabashed in its approach to contemporary Nigerian issues in terms of the topics of discourse, the status and the antecedents of program guests, the level of engagement, as well as the methodology. The primary fulcrum and objective of All Things Naija will be to engage, to enlighten and educate Nigerian citizens and those in diaspora, as well as friends of Nigeria on happenings within the country. It is fitting that our very first topic of interest is a perennial problem that has now lingered for 8 months in Nigeria. It is the problem of education, specifically tertiary education, that has been crippled by the 8-month-old ASUU strike in the country. ASUU is the Academic Staff Union of Universities, a union that has the membership and loyalty of over 85 public universities in the country. There is an old African saying that you are beautiful because of your possessions. A time there was when Nigeria boasted first-class educational institutions that churned out first-class graduates in so many disciplines of life. This naturally led to growth in many areas of our national life. So much so that members of the Saudi Arabia Royal House were once reputed as seeking recourse to medical help at the University College Hospital Ibadan. Those were the days. Sadly, those days are no more. The country's education and educational institutions, especially at the tertiary education level, are now in decline, a consequence of years of neglect by various governments in the country. Nigeria's vision of education as an instrument for national development is reflected in the National Policy on Education, which states, in quotes, that no nation can rise above the quality of its education system. The government relies on education as a springboard for its development and reform agenda. Thus, 5 main national objectives have been endorsed as the necessary foundation for the National Policy on Education. 1. To build a free and democratic society. 2. To build a just and egalitarian society. 3. To build a united, strong, and self-reliant nation. 4. To build a great and dynamic economy. And 5. To build a land of bright and full opportunities for all citizens. This policy was first enunciated in 1977, reviewed in 1981, 1990, and 2000. Again, in 2009, the Federal Ministry of Education published the roadmap for the Nigerian education sector. This was developed to address issues in the education sector related to mismanagement and inadequacy of resources commensurate with national needs, population growth, and demand. Decades after these lofty ideals became part of state policy, the question is what happened, given that there is nothing to show for it in terms of our present socioeconomic dynamics. In 2012, the Federal Ministry of Education stated that, in quote, while the capacity of Nigerian universities has improved in recent years, with the establishment of new institutions and the upgrade of some colleges of education and polytechnics to degree-awarding institutions, only 1/5 of the 1.5 million qualified applicants are admitted yearly into first degree programs. It states further, consequent upon the massive expansion, quality issues have arisen related to overcrowding and inadequate lecturer qualifications. According to a 2013 report from the Nigerian University's Needs Assessment Committee, established by the federal government to look into the problems of universities, just 43% of Nigeria's 37,000 504 university lecturers have a PhD degree. The report also notes that Nigeria has one of the worst lecturer to student ratios in the world, with the National Open University, the University of Abuja, and Lagos State University having ratios of 1 to 363, 1 to 122, and 1 to 114 students, lecturer to students, respectively. Data by the Federal Ministry of Education, 2012. Some international organizations have responded to the rapid increase in the number of Nigerian universities. For instance, the World Education News and Review, 2013, observed that even though the increase in number of universities could be perceived as generally positive for access in absolute terms, it has created issues with serious implications for instructional quality. According to WENR, physical infrastructure such as lecture halls and hostel accommodations are severely overcrowded. Teacher-to-student ratios have skyrocketed and faculty shortages have become a major problem, with an estimated 40% of university positions and 60% of polytechnic positions currently unstaffed. High unemployment among university graduates is also a major problem, but this does not appear to be a deterrent to those seeking admission to institutions of higher learning. The expansion effort in Nigerian university education, which is necessitated by the growth in demand for university places, is viewed as a function of Nigeria's rapidly growing youth population. Obviously, adequate funding is key to any significant turnaround in the sector. While some people within government circles have declared that good education is not cheap, thereby advocating to significantly increase fees in the universities, others have opined on the immediate and long-term social consequences of such a measure. They point to the parlous state of the economy and the almost suffocating poverty in the land that will lead to as much as 60% dropouts in the nation's universities. With the dangerous insecurity situation in the country being perpetrated by idle, uneducated, and frustrated youthful populations, the consequences would further the insecurity in the land. Currently, Nigeria's education budget is nowhere near the minimum 15% of national budget recommended by the African Union as a way to progress the continent along the path of development and wealth creation. In fact, while other countries have met this budgetary requirement and in some instances are actually allocating as much as 25%, Nigeria's allocation to education is a paltry 5% and has fallen in recent years. Meanwhile, I have somebody here with me who is in a position to further educate us and enlighten us on the current happening with regards to the strike. He is the chair of the University of Lagos ASU chapter. ASU, of course, is the Academic Staff Union of Universities. And Dr. Dele Ashiru is here and will be giving us an idea of what is going on and what the stakes are and the possibility of a resumption of the universities in the country. Dr. Ashiru, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, Comrade Dele Ashiru. You are the chairman of the ASU, University of Lagos chapter. So that makes you a very, very important member of the negotiating team of ASU over this protracted strike by the Academic Staff Union of Universities. And obviously, I don't know at this particular point in time, looking at maybe feelers from the mainstream media, whether to congratulate ASU, because what we're being told is that there's been a breakthrough in the series of negotiations with the federal government. I am a little bit reluctant to do that. You have to clarify, because about 2 weeks ago, we also had the same scenario where it was reported that ASU had settled their grievances with the federal government, only for ASU to come and say there was nothing like that. So do we say congratulations to the ASU over a possible resolution of the present impasse between the federal ASU and federal government?
Well, our union deserves congratulations always, But in specific terms, the way we reach agreements or the way we suspend our strike is unlike the way other unions do. Although we have vested in the leadership of our union mandate to negotiate on our behalf, but traditionally, the outcome of such negotiation remains a proposal until it is considered by the generality of our members.
Okay.
So the last interaction between our union and government is also a proposal that our leaders are bringing back to us. We will have to consider it at our various congresses. If at that level the membership of our union is satisfied with the proposal, they will now vest the leadership with the mandate to report back to government. And once that is done, a National Executive Council meeting will then be called, because in our union, only the National Executive Council can commence a strike, and it is only that body that can suspend the same strike. So until the National Executive Council meeting of our union holds, we cannot say that the strike is over.
Okay, I think that is clear enough. I mean, it has been a difficult period, I want to believe, for everybody. Can you give me an idea of what it takes to sustain the level of solidarity that ASUU over the years has been able to muster, especially during such periods? Of course, we all know about the moves behind the scene. There was this story that some group wanted to be registered, as an alternative alternate union in the campuses. Obviously, that would seem not to have gone so far. But how has it been, I mean, in terms of being able to maintain the level of solidarity in the midst of so much difficulties, especially where these strikes entail that lecturers suffer a lot of deprivations, especially at the economic front?
Well, you see, ASUU is rooted in an egalitarian idea, in the idea that we must not only struggle for the betterment of our working condition like other trade unions do, but that our struggle will pale to nothing until we develop an egalitarian society where life is more abundant for the majority of the people. It is that idea of integrity, of commitment, of sacrifice, selfless sacrifice, not only for the education system in Nigeria, but for the Nigerian society at large. That is why you see our union intervening in national, economic, social, and political issues. That's why you see our union at the forefront of bringing succor to any group of people that are troubled in any way. So what has sustained our union and the level of solidarity that you have witnessed is those ideas in which our union is founded, for which it is today rooted. In any society, you are bound to be people who are disgruntled, people who may want to serve other interests other than the bigger picture, other than, a better society for all. Our union will continue to engage such individuals, but within the ideological framework of our union and the ideas that have sustained it over the years, we are confident that it's a union that will remain strong for a very long time to come.
Well, unfortunately, we are dealing with a society, a country where it would appear the political class do not give enough respect to education. People have rightly argued that education is the basis of development of any nation in virtually every sphere of national life. And perhaps Again, it has been posited that the reason why this is not so in terms of a priority of importance for the elites is simply because they do not have need of our institutions. They do not have need of our educational, you know, centers or institutions in the country. And so they really do not have any stake, anything at stake. So in the long run, really, because that makes it, that would seem to make it difficult for ASUU. ASUU will find itself again in this situation, perhaps in the not too distant future. Is there a way we're looking at, having some level of permanence to having a conducive educational atmosphere in the country at the level of tertiary institutions?
You know, I think the challenge is, or the challenges are multifarious.
Yeah.
Multifarious. The first is that we have a political elite who are scared of an educated population.
Okay.
Because an educated population, it's not a gullible population.
Okay.
And no society can live above its level of educational advancement.
Okay.
So what is happening in the education sector is a deliberate ploy by the political elite to keep Nigeria underdeveloped. If we realize this, the onus lies on our people to team up with the leadership and members of our union to birth a new society for Nigeria. If you look at societies around the world that are making progress today, you find out that they have a very high level of sophistication in their education system. And the political elites have realized that. And that's why they are doing all that they can to thwart tertiary education to the mass of the Nigerian people. Bear in mind that majority of these same political elites are owners of universities. So they must do all they can to discredit public universities, starve it of funds, blackmail it, call it all manner of name, so that their private interest or private venture can thrive. The onus lies on the Nigerian people to resist, you know, such a devilish attempt by, you know, a parasitic political elite. So it is only a synergy between the intelligentsia, professional bodies, Nigerian masses, artisans, all of us. It is that group mass solidarity that can wrestle, you know, the education system and by extension, the development aspiration of Nigeria from these elites who are only parasitic in their outlook and approach to state affairs.
Thank you. I just two more short questions because I'm aware that you have a lot of activities, that you have meetings you have to attend to. Now, the agreement is, I know that one of the major issues over this that led to this current disagreement is the issue of the integrated payroll and personnel information system. And of course, the argument has been made that the university system is completely different from what you find in the civil service. And so the university system, you know, should be left alone with regards to that. And not only that, they also had developed a much more robust payment system that is even better than what you have. And we have seen the series of confusion that has characterized the previous one. So can we say that part of the agreement is that this payment system by the federal government, proposed by the federal government, has been discarded? Is that part of the agreement?
Certainly, because we rejected IPPI's ab initio, not because we just want to do that, but because we are sure that it's an integrated platform that is set to destroy the last vestiges of progressive university system in Nigeria. Why am I saying this? By experience, you find out that even now that our union insisted that it's not going to enroll on IPPIs, some of our colleagues who've been employed since around November, December last year,
yeah,
are yet to be put on the payroll because the appointment is awaiting approval from the head of civil service of the Federation.
Okay.
This is an aberration. It doesn't happen anywhere.
Okay.
The Senate of the university, respective universities, is vested with appointment and promotion of academic staff.
Okay.
Appointment of university dons cannot be put at the doorstep of a civil service or head of a civil service. Not only that, IPPI violates the autonomy, established the autonomy law, which, I mean, we had secured since 2003, which was gazetted, I mean, which was reenacted into law in 2007. So we have rejected IPPIs because we are sure that it's inconsistent with the idea of a university. In fact, once you are enrolled on IPPIs, it becomes difficult for you to have visiting lecturers, adjunct lecturers and all that.
Okay.
That makes a university what it is, a universal platform for knowledge production. Now, it is the realization of that government killed the challenge at our union. Now that you say this doesn't meet your peculiar, can you give us a payment platform that you think can meet your peculiarities? We are glad today to tell the world that our union took up that challenge, developed UTAS. UTAS has been acclaimed even by the Accountant General, who initially said there was no alternative to IPPIs. UTAS has been acclaimed as a sophisticated payment platform. In fact, as I speak with you, negotiations are ongoing with our union to see how to deploy UTAS even for the civil service. Because
that's formidable.
Our government is paying very heavily to deploy IPPIs. And this is the same government who says he believes in local content. They have a policy on local content. Now, this is UTAS that is being presented to government almost on a platter of gold. So rather than pay over $70 billion annually to an integrated payroll system that is hired from a foreign land, it is our conviction that immediately the test of UTAS is completed by NITA, it will serve as an homegrown solution to the myriads of payment platforms, payroll platforms that we have in Nigeria. So we in a way are gratified that this government challenged our union, and we have shown our creative ingenuity in our ability to present and demonstrate UTAS even before our adversaries. And we are glad, we are happy, we are delighted that today UTAS is acclaimed a sophisticated payment platform for the university system.
Well, this is exceedingly amazing, and I must congratulate the ASU for development of UTAS. Now, do you see the possibility of universities in this country also coming up with different other innovations and other forms of innovations and ingenious activities geared at helping to mobilize the needed finances to the university system without necessarily putting an undue burden on the poor, impoverished citizens of this country?
Sure. As I speak to you, there are all manner of innovation, technological innovation going on in our universities, respective universities. Under COVID, you will marvel at the speed at which ventilators are being produced by universities in Nigeria. Before then, people thought that our ivory towers are just, lazying around without doing anything.
Yeah.
There are so many things that we require is government's commitment to knowledge production and the utilization of knowledge that is produced in the... That's what sets Nigeria apart from other societies. In other serious societies, once there's a challenge, the first place to go is the university system. Put money there, let them brainstorm, let them come out with, workable solutions. But in Nigeria, the reverse is the case. Rather than put money in I give you an example. After the lockdown, government gave money to airports, to some other organizations, to, improve infrastructure there, observe COVID protocol and all sorts. You cannot believe it. As I speak with you, I don't know of any Nigerian university that has received any stimulus package for COVID compliance with COVID protocol. That tells you the kind of contempt that the political elites hold Nigerian University. But what is very gratifying to us is that these same graduates, lecturers that you disparage in Nigeria, once they go out of the shores of the country, you see them, you know, blossoming.
Yeah.
Even the vaccine that is being celebrated today,
yeah,
one of the brains behind it finished from the University of Calabar here in Nigeria. So what we should commend to our government is that there's so much that is going on in our universities. What we require, as is done in other society, is for government and corporate organizations to support research, creativity, innovation, you know, in these universities. Once the requisite support is, I tell you that we will no longer have to rely on foreign technology to solve our local problems in Nigeria. Our universities are equal to the task.
Well, comrade, it is very gladdening, and you know, to hear all of this optimistic tone about what we can do. Sometimes it is quite befuddling beholding our socioeconomic contradictions in the country. But we have a belief that we are going somewhere. And I think with what the ASU has been able to do, with the innovations you talked about, and the great things being done by so many other Nigerians, there is so much more that we can do. So it is quite gratifying to hear all of these wonderful things you have talked about. We want to thank you for this interview, for giving us the opportunity, and be sure that when we have a need to also call upon you, we hope that you will gladly oblige us. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It is gratifying to invite me to speak.
Yes.
We are glad for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, all things eventually come to an end, and this particular episode of All Things Niger has come to an end. This particular program has come to an end, and so we want to thank you very much. And those of you who have tuned to this program, we want to urge you, if you enjoyed the program, and we believe you have, to also get across to others, tell them about this podcast. One thing I can say with all measure of confidence is that we're going to bring you those things that matter to you, especially with regards to happiness within our country. We want to thank every single one of you for staying tuned. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you.